Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car. The little children laughing him. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. I'll be here until 11 o'clock this morning. This first hour is an open line, and then we'll visit with some of the people involved in the upcoming production of A Christmas Carol, the musical. And that will be right after the 10 o'clock news, and then a more open line up until 11. Here's how you get on the air. 356-9397 is our phone line. We want to thank Eric and Brian. Yesterday, were kind enough when we were having phone trouble to call us back and tell us what they were hearing on their end, which was a big help in us trying to find out what was wrong. So we should be in good shape today, so let's keep those phones buzzing. 356-9397. You can send us a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line at 351-5357. So if you have something on your mind, I'm going to give you some headline stories here in just a moment. And you can pick up on those stories, or you can bring up something on your own. I try to explain this every time we have an open line, because some people feel, well, they're talking about this or they're talking about that. And it's good to keep the continuity going on a particular topic. I understand that part. But if you want to bring up something that's out of the ordinary or something that's not in the news headlines, that's okay, too. That's our open line. Well, 3 hours and 35 speakers later, Champaign City Council unanimously voted against a request to grant landmark status to three historic properties near Central High School. Unit 4 plans to demolish those houses as part of the Central's expansion plan. And I know the mayor talked about this a little bit this morning and again last night, but it was very pleasing to an outsider like me, watching on a television for, I didn't watch all 3 hours, but maybe a couple of hours, and I heard all the comments that the speakers had to say during that time, and then the council members, the ones that talked, heard that as well. But this was kind of like democracy in action. It was two sides that had different views on what they wanted to happen. And speaker after speaker, the News Gazette said 35. I didn't count them. I don't know. So I'm going with that, 35 speakers. And then the council members spoke. And it was all very, pleasant. Well, pleasant is exactly the right word, but there was it wasn't contentious. There was no yelling and shouting and pointing of fingers and any of that kind of stuff. So that made me feel pretty good that people in our community could have that kind of argument, if you will, and have it in that manner. So congratulations to all of them. So we'll wait and see what happens here. There was some conversation last night that somebody might get some money together and try to buy the Burnham House. I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll have to wait. Let's go to Frank. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
What's up, Frank?
I'm just going to keep it light. you know, the stuff going on with Trump. Well, I'll stay off of that. I just wanted to say with the basketball team, I have quite a bit of excitement in me about the basketball team this year. They're playing to the end. They're playing overtime. We just haven't seen that in recent years. They play a full game. And for a first-year coach and some young guys, I think we're doing well. And I'd like to see that keep going. And I hope, you know, that's one of the positive things with Illini Athletics right now, that and the volleyball team's doing very well.
Yeah, that's right. Coach Underwood said, you know, this team could be undefeated. The games we've lost, it's been right down to the wire. Could have gone either way.
And simple mistakes, you know, that, you know, as they mature, I don't think those mistakes will be made near as often, we hope.
Turnovers, fouls, those kind of things can be cleared up. And that really hurts you. Although the other night we were playing and we hold the Maryland team to they have 25 turnovers in the game?
Yes.
And they still wound up winning. Well, tonight it's Austin Peay. I bet you remember the game back in 1987 with Austin Peay, if you're a big Illini fan. Yeah, that game.
I think we'll have a good outcome with this, so we'll see what happens. Just wanted to put a positive note out there to start the morning off.
Hey, good. It's always nice to have. It's a cold morning, and you put a little sunshine into it.
Yes, thank you.
Way to go, Frank. Austin Peay, Birmingham, Alabama, March the 12th, 1987. Austin Peay, 68, Illinois, 67. Ken Norman missed a shot at the buzzer. Ed Bond and I were talking about that game a little while ago, and I recall that we had opened that season in Hawaii, and on Oahu, way up north, and we played at a place called BYU Hawaii. We had a sports psychologist on the team at that time. That was his school, Brigham Young University, Hawaii. And it was played in a city called LAIE. I do not know how to pronounce that. We played New Mexico State in the first game and won by 2. And then we beat Duke in the second game of that tournament, 69-62. That's the way we opened the season in 86-87. Doug Oldenberger, who is one of our two color commentators on the broadcast with Brian Barnhart's play-by-play, was captain of that team along with Ken Norman and Tony Weisinger. Norman, Hamilton, Yenskuyava, Oldenberger, Weisinger, Blackwell. I remember Glenn Blackwell, who wasn't a big, big scorer for us, had a great game against Duke and Mike Krzyzewski. That's been a long time ago. But Illinois that year finished 23-8, 13-5, ranked number 11 in the final AP poll, and lost the final game in the NCAA tournament at the Birmingham against Austin Peay. And obviously the reason we're bringing that up, but that's who we play tonight. Hello, Bob.
Hi. I haven't got a chance to watch much of the basketball team, but right here, they had, two games with overtime, got beat by 1 point? And how much did they get beat on the second overtime? Anybody know?
The second overtime against Maryland. Yeah, it was. I don't remember the score of that game. Frankly, how many points?
Okay,
was
it one game 1 point, and was another one 2 or 3 points?
Yeah, they were both real close. Yeah.
Okay, I have a point to make on this.
All right.
How many free throws was missed out through that whole game? And I think free throws is very important. I mean, I didn't I wasn't in the sport of basketball when I was in high school. I was wrestling and track and football. But, you know, three throws, when you only get beat by 1 point, if every three throw was hit, they probably would have won. And that's all I'm saying. You know, that's all I'm saying, that some of those young men need to stand that line and do a lot of practice of hitting three throws, because I really don't see any reason missing two three throws in a row. I mean, you got to get good enough to hit at least one.
Well, this team has done very well shooting free throws this year. They started out with a bang. They made a whole bunch of them real early, and they're still shooting free throws well. I don't. You're right. They're very important. They're points. They count.
Well, I've seen part of one game that if he would have made two three throws, either we would have went into another overtime or we would have won that game by 1 point. You know, it's as simple as that. You got to hit the three throws.
Yep, you have to make them. That's right. And we've, as I say before, we've done a pretty good job shooting free throws. I don't think that's been the big thing. Big thing is turnovers and fouls. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
I am good. What's going on with you, Jim?
'Tis the season, and so the Christmas Carolers Choir is back at it again this year. We've shortened our name. We used to be the Champaign County Christmas Carolers Choir, but that's just a mouthful.
Yeah, that's too big to get on a business card, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are now officially the Christmas Carolers Choir. This is our seventh consecutive Christmas holiday season, going around and trying to spread some joy and cheer to many of those in our community who cannot get out to enjoy the spirit of the Christmas season.
Who are these people? Are they associated with some organization, some church or something, or just a bunch of people?
You know, Jim, I think we're one of the only groups that go around and do this that are not actually associated with any church. I started this, as I said, 7 years ago, simply to get myself out of my place, out of my home, because my mother was brutally murdered 1 week before Christmas here locally in 1996.
I remember that.
And I didn't handle that very well at first. I think I basically was trying to drink myself to death for about 7 years there. But
so every Christmas that came up was a bad time thinking about that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I quit drinking on Mother's Day of 2003 to honor my mom. And through the program and some other people's suggestions, I decided to start going around and doing volunteer performances. And that led into 1 year at Christmas thinking, wow, you know, maybe I'll just put a Facebook post up and see if I can get some other like-minded folks to go out and do Christmas caroling with me. And sure enough, plenty of folks have joined and come out. Lots of them have been to almost every performance that we've done. This season we're doing 14 performances. And so it started with a Facebook post. And I found that a lot of the people in the group that come out to sing with us have a similar story to mine.
Okay, well, where are you going to be? Where are you going to perform?
Tonight we are at the Cunningham Children's Home in Urbana.
Oh, good.
Yep, this is our second year there, and we have a great time. We're in the chapel at Cunningham Children's Home tonight, and we are an all-inclusive group. Anyone that would like to come out, I provide lyric sheets for everyone there, including residents and staff. It's more of an interactive performance. We try and get everybody to sing along. We had a great, great show last night at the Bickford Assisted Living Facility.
At Bickford, oh, okay. Yeah, well, good.
Yeah, it went great. Yeah, it was
Jim,
great.
Weren't you in Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yes, sir, I was. I had the honor and privilege of playing Jesus in that.
You sure did, and what a wonderful performance it was, and what a great show that was. That's one of the first times I had seen you perform and listened to you sing, and you did great. You've been You've been doing good work since then, so hang in there, partner. I need to take some other calls, but I'm glad you, anytime I can help you, let people know where you're going to be, just to give me a quick buzz.
Yep, they can find us on Facebook at Christmas Carolers Choir. Thank you very much, Jim.
All right, thank you, Jim. And Alan is next. Hello, Alan.
Morning, Jim. I had to totally disagree with that caller earlier about the free throw shooting. If it wasn't for the free throw shooting in the Northwestern game, we wouldn't even been close to overtime because we couldn't make a shot, but we was getting fouled and we made our free throws. And we made most of our free throws in the Maryland game, too. And that's the one thing we're doing
well, he's
really good at.
He's banking everything on one time, one free throw, one free thrower missed both free throws.
Right.
And I remember that, too, and it does happen. I've seen teams all over the country have people do that from time to time, but we've been very good free throw shooters this year.
Yes. When you got All-Star Smith and Jordan up there, it's almost automatic with those guys.
Yes, I think it was Lucas that missed the two that he's probably thinking about.
Well, I do remember Nichols Lucas missing two in the Northwestern game late in the game. That kind of hurt us. But other than that, everybody else was shooting free throws, and that was the only thing we was doing. We couldn't make a shot to save our lives. Mm-hmm. So we was making free throws.
Yep, but that's not the problem. We need to finish Lucas, by the way, in that game, even though he missed the two free throws, was about the only one that did any scoring in that game in the last few minutes.
Yeah, he did. That's true. But I think he's playing a little too much hero ball and didn't give anybody else a chance.
Well, if you got four guys standing around, and you're the point guard with the ball, what are you supposed to do? It's not always the guy that's got the ball that's the important guy. Other people have to get open. It's the same way on our out-of-bounds play the other day. People are blaming Williams for what he did, but wasn't anybody to throw it to, throw it long. That's the best thing to do.
Yeah, normally that's true, but somebody's got, you got to go dive, go somehow, touch the ball. You don't have to catch it, just touch it and then put them in the hole.
Yeah, that would have been a different outcome if either one of those players on that long throw would have touched the ball before it went out of bounds.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate your call. I need to take a quick break here. We're coming right back and take more of your calls at 356-9397. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. The Illini hit 11 of 15 free throws in the Maryland game completed a few nights ago, and 21 of 26 against Northwestern. So that's pretty good free throw shooting. We're at 356-9397. You can text us at 351-5357. Just wonder if all those people that were at the Champaign City Council meeting last night have anything to say today. They're probably all talked out and all worn out. Maybe some people were sleeping in. I don't know. 3 hours it went, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going on for a real long time. Now all the council members are going to make long speeches, but they did not. A few of them spoke, but most of them were quite short and to the point, and then they took the vote, and as you might have seen in the News Gazette this morning, there's a picture of all the council members and how they voted, and everybody voted no with two exceptions. Will Kiles was out of town on business, and Greg Stock abstained. All the rest were no, by no, meaning that we will not grant landmark status to those properties. Going to break for the news here in just a moment, but Bobby is next. Hello, Bobby.
Hello there, Jim. Hey, man, I want to congratulate your years of service on the radio. And I got the word that you're going to retire soon in December. And I'm going to let you know I enjoyed your radio show. I enjoy you being on it.
Well, that's very nice of you to call, Bobby. It's been a long journey, 40 years thereabouts. And I'll miss it too, and I'll miss finding out what you think about all the Democrats and the Republicans are doing in the Congress and so forth. By the way, I wanted to ask you what did you think when President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel?
Oh, a big mistake, But that's what we get for voting in.
Okay, before you go on, why was it a mistake? Why was it a mistake?
All the other countries don't agree with it. We're trying to get peace in the world, and these keep causing more disruption and more hate. Just the man that creates more hate than any president I've ever seen. And by the way, speaking of hate, there's more since he's been president. There's more divisions on all areas of the political. There's more division going on in the country among the people, and he's making a foul difference for people of color. And white people, black people, brown people, Hispanics, he's just dividing all of us against one another. And I want to know, Jim, I told you before that I truly believe God allowed Trump to be president to reveal racism. I told you that before.
Yes, you have. You've told me that several times. I frankly don't think God had much to do with this. But there were a lot of people that voted him in. What do you think about that? I mean, my goodness, he had a lot of people that voted.
God allowed it. God either allowed or he arranged it. But I want to know, we need more conversation on race, religion, to bring about togetherness. And I wonder why. Well, people are different colors. Why we got to have why should it be such a bad thing? Because we treat it just like if I had a cold. I'd rather feel sorry for a guy to have a cold than to hate him. And people got different colors. He's making a difference of hate. Hate that person because he's black. But being black doesn't hurt anybody.
Okay, Bobby,
I need to go here.
We
can't see anybody any other different color than me.
Bobby?
I'd rather love than, like my Bible says, Jesus is supposed to be that of love. That's what my Bible says.
I don't know any way to get him off the air other than to punch the button, and I don't want to do that. Bobby? Thank you. I need to break here for the news at 9:32. We're running a little behind, but here's Brian Barnhart coming back after that with more Open Line. This is Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. The phone line's open at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. President Trump is going to make a speech on Israel at noon today. In the meantime, Hamas has planned what they call a day of rage in response to Trump's decision in Jerusalem. They encouraged Palestinians in an official Arabic statement to send a message with all available means to Israel after the upcoming Friday prayers, and added that making Jerusalem the Israeli capital was crossing a red line. We call on the people of Palestine to declare Rage Day on Friday against Israel, denying the U.S. plan to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And the message added, the youth and the Palestinian resistance in the West Bank need to respond with all means available to the U.S. decision that harms our Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a red line, and the resistance will not allow any desecration of it. 356-9397 is our number. And Don is next. Hello, Don.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
I'd have to say racism is still alive and well in the country. I just have a feeling if every time I called, I touted how white I was and how great white people was, you'd quit taking my calls. But as far as Jerusalem...
Wait a minute. Say that again.
If every time I called, I touted how white I was and how great white people were, I have a feeling my calls would get less and less taken.
Well, I don't know why you say that, but go ahead. What is on your mind this morning?
Well, it's racism and it's hate. Bobby and Stan, it's hate, and they're not going to stop hating. I mean, it's just hate. Jerusalem doesn't affect me one iota. I could care less. And I think we're talking about, 8-mile stretch of land in there, the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, they've been fighting over that for 1,000 years.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous. It doesn't affect me one iota, Jim. I could really care less. And I just mean that honestly.
Well, you're not a Palestinian. They don't care less about this. They don't like it at all. And I don't like the idea that they've called on people for this so-called day of rage. And who knows what that might mean or what that might the outcome of that might be.
Why do we care? Why do we care what happens over there, Jim?
Well, maybe we don't. Why do we care what happens any place other than in our own hometown?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't see how this makes a big deal to us to have it like on the news. I think it's a reason to put down the president. It's something they think the president is doing wrong, so it'll be all over the news for every hour for a few days.
It isn't the news media that is saying, let's have a day of rage. It's Hamas.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, it's the news that cares, though. I mean, it makes it a big deal. If we didn't make it a big deal, just like racism, if we'd quit talking about it, it might go away.
Do you think the civil rights movement would have gone away if we'd have quit talking about it?
Not what I'm saying, Jim. Not what I said at all. We're past that. You're talking, 50, 60 years ago?
Yes.
Can you get past it, please?
Well, of course, we've gotten past it. Hopefully we have. But I'm just saying that during that time, there was conversation, there was news media coverage, and I don't know what would have happened if there hadn't been.
But that was in our hometown, like you said, and we are not the world police, and we cannot solve the world's problems, and we need to quit trying.
Okay, thank you, Don. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Steve?
Good. Well, I'm calling in response to your last caller. In regard to the president's decision, I think it's clearly going to create a chaotic situation in the Middle East, one that isn't necessary. And my fears is that our president is wanting to create a situation in order to justify a means, whatever his means may be. And it worries me greatly. I certainly recognize the Jewish state. I care about Israel. I care about their identity. But I think making a decision of this nature will only complicate foreign affairs. So I'm worried about that. And in regard to racism, But racism is clearly something that exists in our country, and it has for hundreds of years. And until people are willing to honestly have a conversation about race relations, we're going to continue to have the difficulties that we have.
Now, Don, the previous caller, says, asks the question, why do you care?
Why do I care?
That's what he said. I care.
Well, I care,
and I know you care. I don't know why he doesn't.
Well, I've worked in this community, you know, since graduate school for 37 years. Worked with many families. And when you take a look at the socioeconomic background of so many of our families, race comes into play about decisions that are made about people's lives, okay? And that's even true, people who are white that are stereotyped into a position here because of poverty. And so we can continue to make judgments, or we can have a conversation that looks at equity and looks at the need as a community to address what is taking place in our own city.
Well, it's something to what he has done, for whatever his own political reasons are, is something that we should care about. I can't imagine anyone saying that, why should we care? It's happening over there. You know, let's go back to our own business here.
Well, it's, you know, I could probably talk all morning.
No, I got to move on to another caller, as a matter of fact, Steve, but you make some good points. I'm glad you called. Thank you. Let's go to Daryl. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, I was going to respond to Bobby's comments. I'd like to know what exactly Trump is doing that he believes is dividing the races in this country and causing racism. I don't see it. I think Trump would like to see everybody come together. When it comes to illegal immigrants, it just so happens that they're from Mexico. I mean, they've stuck across the border. There's nothing racist about that. They need to come here the legal way, just like our ancestors all had to. I think the left is who's fomenting racism. The last several years, racism has been disguised under the term of diversity, racial diversity. I read a while back that there's colleges and schools that won't use the term melting pot anymore. I mean, when I was in school back in the 70s, I don't think racism was a major issue. We were all Americans then. Now, we're African Americans, we're Mexican Americans, we're this, we're that. I think Americans should come first. And we all came here to a new land. We didn't come here to a new Germany or a new England or a new Africa or a new China or a new anything else. We came here to America to be Americans first. And until people can realize that, I don't know if things are going to get better.
Well, those are good points, Daryl, and I agree with you. I just we've become so politically correct, and people get hurt, or they say they do. This hurts me when I see a flag up, or I see a certain monument up, or all the things that are happening in our country now. And if one person or a few people just don't like it, you got to tear that thing down, because some people are offended. Well,
right.
Baloney.
And baloney is right. You know, when I got ancestors that came here in 1638, good night, they gave up whatever over there in England and come here. Can you imagine what this country was like in 1638? And then I've got other ancestors that came here in the 1880s from Germany. They wouldn't let their kids speak German. When they came here, my grandparents told me, Mom and Dad wouldn't let us speak German because we were Americans now.
Good point. Hey, thanks. Thank you, Daryl. Need to move on here and take a quick break. Mr. Bond, coming right back. We're at 356-9397. It is 9:53. Phone lines open at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Family, friends, and survivors gathered outside the Pulse nightclub in Orlando last night, making 1 year after 49 people were killed in the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Around 2 a.m., a vigil was held for survivors, local officials, and club employees. That's the same time when the gunman, Omar Mateen, opened fire in the crowded gay club on June 12, 2016. It was the first of three services taking place in the Orlando area. Two other services, one midday and a late night at the nightclub, will take place along with a gathering in downtown Orlando. All U.S. flags in the state will also be flown at half-staff, Governor Rick Scott announced. A giant rainbow flag will be unveiled at the Orange County Government building. And seems like that was only yesterday, doesn't it? A year ago, 49 people killed down at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. More about Trump. The warning reports from Hamas reports that Trump will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel on Wednesday, will move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to the Holy City, although the process could take up to 4 years to complete. I'd like to hear an explanation of that. Why would that be? Hamas's English social media accounts, which tend to offer a watered-down version of the hostile statements, said the Palestinian leadership urges Palestinians to organize demonstrations against Israel and the United States. Hamas's Twitter account reads, Palestinian factions declare days of anger on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and to hold demonstrations in cities in front of Israeli embassies and consulates. According to Hamas's charter, which outlines key principles and policies, the terror group aims to establish a state of Palestine with Jerusalem as its capital and states that not one stone of the city will be given up. Orville is next. Hello, Orville.
I got two quick things. These people want to keep, you know, arguing about black, white, all this. Move them to Montana, and when they get done fighting, bring them back into society. You know, I get tired of hearing about racism. And another thing, when did they start, you know, letting you fly the flag at half-staff just any time you wanted to? It used to be there's only certain things you could fly it for. And now they, you know, you kill a mosquito and you get to put the flag at half-staff. So when did that start up and why? Anyway, I griped enough. I'll let you go.
Well, I don't know when it started. It happens in lots of places. It's happened in the state of Illinois quite a few times. Governors can call for that, and I don't know why anybody would object to it. Well, there's a strange story out of Tokyo this morning. Japan is urging local authorities and fishermen to be on the alert after several boats thought to be from North Korea were found on its northern coast. The chief government spokesman made the comments yesterday after a boat carrying dead bodies was found on the coast of Japan, which faces the North Korea across the Sea of Japan. He said that local police and other authorities and residents should report if they spot any suspicious boats or people. Last week, police rescued 8 people thought to be North Korean fishermen. And it was unclear about what they were doing there, the people that were found dead. Were they trying to defect? Were they trying to get back home and it didn't work out with the boat they were in? Who knows? That's what they're looking into now. We mentioned this earlier. It's something to think about because it's very important to the city of Urbana. About a week to go before they start bidding in the auction of the former Landmark Hotel. And the auction begins on Monday morning, and it will run through December the 13th. And this auction is online. It's on 10-x.com. The word 10, T-E-N, hyphen, X.com. And this story says this is a kind of an eBay of sorts for commercial real estate. The property's a broker, Steve Post, of the California-based Amber Hotel Company, said interest has been very high. Property tours have been given, and he said the interest has come from both local and non-local potential buyers. To participate in the auction, bidders need to have an account on 10x.com and to pledge a $10,000 refundable deposit. If they're the winning bidder, that'll be applied to the price. Our time is up. The news is next on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana. And welcome back to hour number two of A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. And as a promise, we're going to talk about A Christmas Carol, a show coming up. It's got a little music in it. It's going to be a little different. We've got several people here in the studio today. And luckily, we now have a studio large enough to accommodate bigger groups. And we're going to visit with several of them. And we have some young people here going to sing a couple of songs for us. And have a good time. If you have any questions you would like to ask about this show or anything at all about the performances or where it is and all that, we can tell you that too. You may call us at 356-9397 or you can text us at 351-5357. Well, Todd Salen, let's start with you. You are the producer of this. Todd has been the producer of several shows and is always been accommodating it to me, give me the right information and all that. But I must say, this is a show that I don't know much about, Todd. So why don't you start and tell us just a little bit about it, and then you can introduce Across the Way after you're finished.
Well, and this is a show that is a Rod Sickler production. A lot of us know Rod from his hair care industry here in town, and he plays Scrooge in the show. We all know the story of Scrooge. We know the ghosts of Christmas past and present and future. In fact, you know, when I was in fifth grade, I played Bob Cratchit, so I'm ready to step in if they need me.
I thought you played Tiny Tim, but you put on a little weight since then.
Yeah. Well, you know, steroids.
That'll do it.
If I
can't
cancer care,
yes.
That'll do it.
But, I understand.
But this is a 2-week production here downtown. It's at 51 Main. Which you'll recognize as being right next to Jupiter's over here on Main Street and Memphis on Main. And Rod is an amazing person and an amazing actor. He's put together an ensemble group that is just ready to entertain for the for the Christmas season, and I think this is the third year. And I'm going to turn it over to Kenny over here, who is the real producer. I'm just helping him.
If the show is a flop, Todd's the producer.
I'm the producer, yeah, exactly.
If it's a smash, I'm the producer.
Exactly.
Well, Kenny, tell us about it. What kind of a show, how does this, let's just start with this question, how does this differ from other Christmas carols that we've seen?
Well, I think this is a fairly faithful adaptation. I'm not sure who did this adaptation, but it's pretty true to the book. They go a little bit deeper into why Scrooge turned out the way he did, and that some of that comes out in the show. But this is more the traditional family rendition of A Christmas Carol. It's hard to get through the month of December without bumping into Dickens, since The Christmas Carol, which was the second of four Christmas ghost stories he wrote. A lot of people don't know he wrote more than just A Christmas Carol. And it was The Christmas Carol that really revolutionized Christmas, not as a holy day, but as a holiday. And many of our traditions in England, Ireland, America trace to Dickens and his treatment of Christmas. And I think the traditional classic telling of the tale really comes through in the production we're going to do.
And I think I heard you say this is a show that is good for all ages.
Yeah, it's a family show. It's not a musical, but there's music in the show. We've got some great singers. We have a children's choir made up of some of the younger actors, actresses in the show. And they are under the direction of Deborah Myers, who plays a couple of roles in the show. She's one of the narrators. And she does something else, but I've forgotten right now what it is. But she has gotten our... I'm sorry, Deborah.
Music. Yeah,
well, I know you're the music
Deborah,
director.
Come right up. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Can you sing for us this morning?
Oh, I don't know. My singing days are, you know.
They are not.
I haven't done that for a while.
Todd will help out if you need some help.
Deb Myers is one of the best singers in this community for a real long time. Maybe you've cut back a little bit on your singing, but... you brought me to tears in some of the Climb Every Mountain and some of those songs I heard you sing.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim. Those were wonderful days.
You're still teaching?
Oh, absolutely. Now I don't sing, I just teach.
Okay.
Deb happens to be the mother of Caitlin Dobbs, who is also just a remarkable young lady and an incredible singer. And we've seen her often in the what am I trying to say? At the Virginia.
Oh, she's been at the New Year's.
Get a little closer to the microphone here. We're Deb, step up to the mic.
I'm sorry. Yes, Caitlin was pretty busy when she was here. She went on to NYU in New York and then graduated 2 years ago and is pursuing singing in Brooklyn.
She lives in Brooklyn now.
She
huh?
lives in Brooklyn now. Mm. Yep.
Well, she is a great singer. I remember a show at when we did our Pete Griffin and others. We put together this 4th of July show, and Caitlin was one of the featured singers, and she was 14 years old at the time.
Yes, yes.
So you taught her early.
At the age of 12, and Dan really kind of pushed her right into
Dan Perino,
singing everywhere. So.
Well, who's with you today? Who are these young people?
Today I have four lovely ladies, and I would like for them, can they introduce themselves?
Absolutely.
Is that
they'll
right?
Step up to the mic.
Okay.
Jim Rodney Sickler is not singing in this show. Oh. He would bring you to tears also, but he's not singing.
Just come up and tell us who you are and where you go to school.
Yeah.
My name is Emily Kanoki. I'm actually homeschooled.
So you go to school at home.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Thanks thanks for being here. Let the young lady behind you talk too. And who is this little girl here?
My name is Summer Nagley, and I go to Franklin Middle School.
Okay, thank you. And we got
I am Maggie Barry, and I go to Thomas World Grade School.
All right. Couple more.
I'm Sophie Long, and I also go to Thomas World Grade School.
And Sophie is our Tiny Tim.
Yes. So as you can see, we've drawn people from all over the area. This is not just people from Champaign. We have kids from lots of different schools and homeschools. So can we sing for you now?
I wish you would. Yeah,
we have a couple
sing
of
first?
Songs ready. This is Deck the Halls.
Yeah, girls, if you would just come up to the mic a little closer, I think you will get rid of the echo effect. Perfect, perfect.
Deck thousand boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Donning now a gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Told the ancient jokes I carol, fa la 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 la.
Good. Why don't we go ahead and sing the other one? You have another one?
We have, yes. Try to the rock. Are you ready?
Yes. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And
well, thank you, young people. Nice to have you here.
Jim, I think the entire choir consists of about 10 kids, and we'll be singing. They'll be singing before each show, every performance.
So we have a high cute factor, is what we're trying to say.
Are they in the show as well?
Yes, they're all in the show.
Okay. Well, tell me where this is. This is not that a venue that everyone knows about.
No, Rodney Sickler bought this building, 51 East Main Street, just a block and a half away from here. And at one time, it was a theater, I guess. There's a stage in there, and he's done a lot of refurbishing, renovating, and has a stage area that we can seat about 100 folks, maybe a few more in there. So the stage has been fixed. We've got the setup, and it's going to be very Victorian when folks come in and watch the show.
So it's a 51 Main?
Main, right.
You might recall it as being a high dive in the past. So
well, what makes you think
I know that, high dive? Well, I know that you and Louise go out dancing late at night, you know.
That's right.
Back in the day.
Yeah, it used to be the high dive, and now it's kind of a nice little theater.
Beautiful. It's beautiful, and it's ideal for this kind of setup. It's kind of like a black box size theater like we've been over at Parkland, which is a nice size for this kind
yeah,
of
yeah, something like the Station Theater, yeah, maybe.
Exactly.
Tell me about the ticket prices, how you can get them, and how much they cost and all that.
There's two tickets you can buy. One is the VIP seating for $25. The other is the general for $15. Tickets can be ordered by going to rodsickler.com, getting them online. And or you can just walk up to the box office before the show and buy them there.
Okay. Well, what time are they performances?
This Friday night's our first show. Curtain goes up at 7. On Saturday, we have two shows, a matinee at 2, and then the evening show at 7. On Sunday, we have a matinee at 2. And then in a week, on Friday the 15th, we have a show at 7. On the 16th, 2 p.m., 7 p.m., which is Saturday, on Sunday at 2 p.m.
Okay, so you think you can walk up to the box office most any time and get a ticket?
Yeah, I hope so. It'd be nice if it was sold out and you couldn't get a ticket, but I think you'll be able to walk up and get one.
Yeah, a lot of things going on this time of year.
That's right.
We all know.
That's right.
Any final words from you, Todd? I think we've covered most everything here.
This is kind of an interesting experience for me because I was in London 3 weeks ago and kind of walked in. I literally walked over Dickens' grave and walked the streets that he walked on. So I'm looking forward to seeing this in person again. I haven't seen it since in a few years. So.
Did you get a funny feeling when you were in there? I mean, did it?
Yeah, I did. I really did.
Was it creepy or was it really exhilarating?
You know, it's in Westminster Hall, and where he's buried, and it is kind of creepy. But I'm here. We've worked so hard on this thing, and I'm thinking he's just right below me. This person who we've been working hard to produce his show. But what a great author he was.
Anything else that you'd like to say about the young people in the show, Deborah?
Oh, there's quite a collection of good talent in this show. We don't just have the young kids caroling. I think we haven't spoken yet about having special guests at every intermission who are there just to entertain while we're waiting for the second act to start. So you're not only going to hear the carolers, but you're also going to hear a special guest each show.
Are there any actors or actresses that we should mention? Rod Sickler, I believe, is the only one that we've mentioned so far. He must not be a solo act.
A lot of folks known locally. Jacob Smith is playing Bob Cratchit. Craig Smith is going to be the other narrator.
People know Pete Barrett.
Pete Barrett's going to be Ghost of Christmas Present.
Jace Jameson is somebody who's been in a lot of shows at Parkland and CUTC. Mm-hmm. Karen Hughes, also the Ghost of Christmas Past. Autumn, right here behind us, is
Mrs. Cratchit.
Mrs. Cratchit
does a great job.
Exactly. So a lot of familiar faces in the theater world here in Central Illinois.
So Autumn, are you Autumn?
I am.
We'll get up to the microphone here. You're not going to get away that easy. Tell me about your role.
Well, I play the role of Mrs. Cratchit, uh-huh. And this is going to be my first performance. I actually went to the audition with my daughter, who is the Summer Negley is the daughter of Want, and I landed a role myself as well as my husband. So it's kind of a family affair.
So she came home and said, guess what happened today, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Well, the best of luck to you. Break a leg, as they say.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, kids. We appreciate everybody that came, and good luck in the show. Hope you have a good time. And Kenny, thank you for coming. And,
thanks for having us.
Thanks very much. And if you'll leave me with all that good information, Todd, I'll be able to talk about this during the open line periods in the next day or two. I'll repeat some of this information.
And, Jim, you know what? You and I have had a history here for quite a while, and I'm going to miss sitting across from you here. Mm-hmm. You've helped a lot of shows and a lot of community theater in this town, and I'm sure there'll be more people talking about it in the next few weeks.
Well,
but I want to thank you. You've been a great friend.
That's one of the great joys of having this job, is being able to do theater-type stuff. And we've done plenty of it, and real happy to have you folks on this morning.
We'll still have a seat reserved for you.
All right. Well, we'll take a break here. We're coming right back. The rest of the way will be an open line up until 11. This is Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone line's open now up until 11 o'clock at 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. It's 351-5357. I'm going to break for the news headlines here in just a moment, but in case you just joined us, we talked a little bit about the Champaign City Council voting against a request to grant a landmark status to these three historic properties near Central High School. Unit Flora plans to demolish the houses as part of the Central expansion plan. And I talked a little bit about watching it for a couple of hours last night and how I thought it was so great that there were so many sincere, knowledgeable people speaking from the heart on both sides of the situation, and there was no screaming or yelling or pounding on the table or nobody walking out in a rage. Some of the we've seen other council meetings which weren't quite so peaceful, and it was just so pleasing to me to see the way that this was conducted. And I thought the comments by the city council members were right on. That's the big problem here, is that the house they're talking about primarily was the Burnham House, and these are houses that the Unit 4 has already bought. They own them, and the city council says, Tom Bruno and others said, I'm on the city council. I'm not on the Unit 4 school board. I can't tell the people there what to do. Now, if somebody else had, buys that property, then maybe this is not the end of it. But I certainly hope it is. I hope that this is the end of all the conversation about with PACA and others about the site, and that this can move on. fact, there was a little girl there last night. I'm not sure how old she was or what grade she was in, but she talked for just about 20 seconds. And what she had to say was, "We want a high school that I can go to, not that my kids will go to." In other words, this has been a long time since the money was provided at the referendum, and there's a lot of planning that goes into this, and we don't want any more delays. We hope to get this show on the road, so to speak. It is at 10:31. Brian Barnhart has the news headlines, and we'll come back after that with an open line up until 11. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. Text us at 351-5357. I've not spent much time talking about sexual harassment and all that. It's all over the news, of course, but we've had a lot of other things to talk about. But there are a couple of stories this morning that are interesting to me. I hope to you as well. Lena Dunham says she warned the Clinton campaign about Harvey Weinstein during the campaign. Actress Dunham said she warned Hillary Clinton's campaign about disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein and was uncomfortable with his presence during the 2016 presidential campaign. It's according to a report out yesterday. She is on a show called The Girls, star of that show, and she told the New York Times that she had heard stories about Weinstein from other actresses who claimed they had trouble with interactions with him. So in March of 2016, she warned the Clinton campaign deputy communications manager, Christina Shake, about him. "I just want to let you know that Harvey's a rapist, and this is going to come out at some point," she told the campaign. "I think it's a really bad idea for him to be hosting fundraisers and be involved because it's an open secret in Hollywood that he has a problem with sexual assault." The controversial actress said she also told another Clinton campaign member, a spokeswoman Adrienne Elrod, about Weinstein. Dunham said the campaign had not responded to her concerns about the disgraced mega producer who's been accused of sexually assaulting or harassing more than 100 women. Weinstein had donated thousands of dollars to Clinton's political campaigns over the years, and it took the former Secretary of State 5 days to break her silence following accusations made about him. And then the other story is kind of unusual because it happened some time ago, but ties in with what is happening now. And it goes like this. Former Today Show co-host Meredith Vieira laughed with Matt Lauer about the time she went into his office and found what she called a huge bag of sex toys. This is from a video that they found back from 2016. Lauer appeared on the Meredith Vieira show with his then co-host Savannah Guthrie in May of 2016, and Vieira recalled the time that she went snooping in his office and discovered the bag of sex toys. "You had a huge bag of sex toys, yes you did, in your closet, Matt," Vieira told the studio audience. The audience audibly groaned as an uncomfortable Guthrie shook her head and cringed at the statement. Lauer attempted to explain away the toys. He said, Wait a minute, we had a guest on the show that was a sex therapist. I think you did the interview, actually." Vieira replied she did not receive anything, and Lauer said he did not know what to do with the sex toys and left them in the closet. The former Today Show host said Secret Service agents went into the office the day before he did an interview with Laura Bush. They were you know, when you have somebody like a Laura Bush there, Secret Service comes in the day before and looks all around and makes sure it's a safe place and so forth. But before he did that interview, they found the X-rated toys. Lauer recalled being embarrassed about it. He, of course, was fired by NBC News on Wednesday following a detailed complaint of sexual misconduct against the news anchor. As many as 8 women have come forward accusing Lauer of sexual misconduct. NBC has denied its executives knew about his alleged indiscretions until a meeting earlier this week. One woman claimed to Variety that Lauer gifted her with a sex toy with a graphic note making the 2016 video with Vieira all the more awkward. And the latest resurfaced video is not the first uncomfortable clip between Lauer and Vieira. In a video unearthed by TMZ on Wednesday, Lauer was seen and heard on camera whispering inappropriate comments to Vieira. "Keep bending over like that. It's a nice view," he told Vieira on the set of the Today Show in October of 2006. So those things happened a long time ago. They're very much in the news. We don't bring those to you every day because something different is happening every day. And now I don't know how many men have been accused, but it's dozens and dozens and dozens of them since Weinstein was the first. Now to something a little more joyful, from trimming the tree to shopping for that perfect gift. The holidays are really a busy time. Simplify your life and your finances with convenient online and mobile banking solutions from Busey. Busey Mobile allows you to bank the way you live electronically. With the Busey Mobile app, you can view balances on the spot. You can transfer funds to cover everyone on your holiday list. You can find the nearest ATM for last-minute gifts. And deposit your holiday check from Grandma. Busey online services include Busey eBank. You can track your holiday spending online. E-Statements. You can receive your monthly bank statements electronically and stay on budget. And Busey Bill Payment. See and pay all of your holiday bills online. No more checks to write. No more postage to buy. Online and mobile banking is convenient, allowing you to access your accounts anytime, anywhere. It is time-saving, from depositing checks to paying your bills. Safe and secure with the highest levels of security, encryption, and firewalls. So enjoy the gift of convenience from Busey. Download their free mobile app for iPhone and Android devices to utilize their online services today. So simplify your life and your finances during the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. Download the Busey mobile app or visit Busey.com to register for online banking. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY for details. It is 10:45, and we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, a reminder that the phone lines are indeed open, and we talked about a variety of things during that first hour. If we want to pick up on some of those, fine. If you want to bring up something else, that is okay, too. So let's take a break right here and come back and see if you have anything on your mind you'd like to talk about today, a question or a comment here on Penny after this break. This is Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. This is an open line until 11 o'clock this morning. Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in a closely watched case of this Colorado baker who refused to make that wedding cake for a gay couple back in 2012, saying he can't be forced to use his artistic talents for something that violates his religious beliefs. Well, Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote all the high court's major gay rights decision is likely to be the deciding vote, with the court's conservative and liberal wings split. His questions indicated he was torn, with Kennedy saying that if they ruled for the baker, other business people like photographers, florists, graphic designers, and jewelers could also refuse to work on gay weddings, stating it means that there's basically an ability to boycott gay marriages. But he also criticized the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which found that Phillips violated the state's anti-discrimination law, saying, "It seems to me that the state in this position here has been neither tolerant nor respectful of Mr. Phillips' religious beliefs." And several other things in the news as we catch up here in the final few minutes of the program. Well, this came as a big surprise to a lot of people. Beyonce was the surprise presenter of Sports Illustrated's Muhammad Ali Legacy, this award to Colin Kaepernick last night. She said she was proud and humbled to present the award, saying of Kaepernick, "Colin took action with no fear of consequence or repercussion, only hope to change the world for the better." You know him as the former San Francisco quarterback who's been unable to get an NFL job this year after starting the controversial kneeling protests during the national anthem against racial inequality and police brutality, said that Ali, quote, "monitored me without ever meeting me." He added, "I can only hope that I'm taking steps toward walking on the footsteps that he has left behind for the world to follow." The Ali Award comes after Kaepernick was recently honored with a Courageous Advocate Award from the ACLU of Southern California and was named GQ Magazine's Citizen of the Year for his activism. Well, you never know. Here's a guy that caught all kinds of grief from everybody for what he did, to the point where nobody is going to hire him now as a quarterback, and he's getting all these awards from all these different organizations. It's a strange world that we live in. One final break, coming right back after that. Tomorrow on the show, we will have an open line at 9 o'clock. Then after the 10 o'clock news, I'll be visiting with Joe Alexander. We'll be talking about the Illinois Bicentennial. Boy, there are a lot of things going on there. So he'll fill us in on what's going on around here and statewide. Then on Friday, my guest will be on the phone, Jim Noland. Jim is a political expert, has been on the show several times, and people seem to enjoy him. He also writes a column for several newspapers. It appears in the News Gazette from time to time, and wrote one just a couple of days ago. Had to do with a facility up in Kewaunee, and I found it very interesting. It's a prison, but unlike many of the ones that we know about. So I want to talk to him about that a little bit. So it's Joe Alexander tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and then on Friday at 10 o'clock, Jim Noland. Well, thanks for all your calls this morning. We had a lot of different things to talk about, as we usually do on an open line. We'll try it again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and then at the 10 o'clock we'll have our guest. Always remember, after the guest, then more open line on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.